Thanking the Lord for his faithfulness to all of us. Amen. He's been so good. We were singing the song, "And Worthy is the Lamb." And just it was so beautiful, so anointed this morning. And I think of someday we're going to be singing with that heavenly choir. And the music and the sounds, it's going to be so glorious. Praise God. I just want to encourage you non-singers, you better tune up. Amen. Better tune up. Praise God. God's coming. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter, a few scriptures for our meditation this morning. If I had to put a title on this message, Make Our Calling and Election Sure. This morning, if you were in the adult Bible class, you had a precursor to this message. A lot of the discussion and a lot of things that Brother Steve brought out in the teachings and a lot of comments that were made just all seemed to confirm the direction of the word this morning. And I thank the Lord for that. This letter, one of two letters that was written by Peter, he says in the first chapter, if you go back and read the first chapter, first few verses, says to the strangers scattered throughout the Roman provinces of Asia Minor. It was to be broadcast to those who would read this letter and his encouragement to them. And in this second epistle, I'm going to begin reading with verse 3. He says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." That is just dynamic. There's so much to unpack there. I'm not going to delve into all of it, but it just thrills my soul. What he's telling us, he says, according as his divine power, Holy Spirit power, that he shed abroad on us, the Holy Spirit has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The Holy Spirit gives us power from day to day. Why the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So the power of God can reside in us, that we're able to overcome, we're able to defeat the enemy, we're able to overcome the flesh. We're able to not lose heart in times of difficulties, and we're able to hold on to the promises of God. That doesn't come through our natural strength. Well, I'm a very positive person, Brother Ron. I have a real, tenacity. You may have all that, and that's good. Thank God for that. But my brother and sister, there's a point where we reach our limited resources, and we need the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to help us. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for your sin and my sin. Otherwise, we would be under the law. We would be lost. And the law didn't give us any remedy to improve. All the law said, if you violate me, you're guilty. That's it. But praise God, Jesus came and shed his blood that you and I, praise God, could be forgiven, redeemed, set free, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, that the Holy Spirit could come and take up residence within us. The blood, Jesus had to die first. The blood had to be shed. The price had to be paid for our sin so that the Holy Spirit power can live within us. God knew, God saw, in the day in which we live, we need his strength. We need his power. We're not able to do it. This is not to put us down or put anyone down. The enemy is stronger than we are. Without the Lord, the enemy wins. Without God's power, without his strength, the enemy wins. We have this old nature that we fight, this old man corrupted by sin, this old nature that desires the things of this life, that desires the things that are not according to God. And we say, Lord, thank you for the power. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God asks us to live righteously. He asks us to live holy. He asks us to live separated from this world. He asked us to live according to the dictates of the Word of God. Well, how can we do that? He gave us everything we need. He gave us the Word. He shed His blood. Praise God. He gave us the Holy Spirit that resides within us, the Holy Spirit that gives us power. Oh, hallelujah. I love what Jesus said before He ascended. You shall have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise God. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because we need the power. We need the ability to live the life. We need the ability to say no. We need the ability to overcome. And it only comes through the power of His Spirit. Praise God. Oh, Lord, thank You. Has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You see, we have accountability. There's accountability. Well, I can't. I'm not able. Yes, you are. I don't have the strength. You got it through Jesus. You got it through the Holy Spirit. There's no excuse. We are weak. I'm not saying we're never going to fail. We're never going to fall. We make mistakes. We have limitations. We don't surrender our lives sometimes like we should. We do our own thing sometimes because this old flesh raises its ugly head and says, I want to take control. And it does sometimes. But praise God, He's given us what we need. It is a life of consecration to where we every day we crucify. The Word of God tells us to crucify the deeds of the flesh. What does it mean? To kill it, to put it under, to keep it under control. How can we do that? We see people with addictions have no control. They can't. You've seen the pictures in San Francisco and places where they're shooting up drugs and it's just free. And these poor people are laying there. They're strung out on drugs, laying in the street, needles all around them. They got no control, no ability to overcome. Man can't help. They do the best they can, but man can't help. They need, praise God, it's not a sickness problem. It's a sin problem. And they need the power of God to set them free. Praise the Lord. Oh, and God gave us that power. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us this morning. Let me go on. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What are those? To be a member of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Redemption through the blood. Thank God we're redeemed. Redeemed. We sing the song, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. You and I were lost. Might have been born in the church, but we were lost. We needed redemption. Praise God. It came through the blood. The indwelling influence of the Holy Spirit. Another precious promise. The resurrection of the body someday. Someday the trump is going to sound, praise God, and we are going to be caught up with them and from the grave. We're going to rise to be with the Lord forever. Oh, yes, praise God, and then eternal rest with Christ Jesus. These are the promises unto us are given exceeding great and precious promises. Nothing to be trifle about. These are great and precious promises. We have a hope. We have a destination. We have an eternal glory to go with the Lord. Praise God. And I say, Lord, help us. And Paul, Peter is encouraging them. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, that God kind of love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to pause here for a moment. He says, add these seven virtues, seven qualities to your faith. It begins with faith. The word says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is faith. It starts out. And that faith comes from a gift from God, that he gives us the faith, that saving faith to believe. Praise God. He says, add. I love that word, add to your faith. Add. In the Greek, I'm not going to read you the word, but we get our word chorus or choreograph and choreography from that ancient Greek word. And it says the word came to be used of one who provides for or supports others or supplies something for them in abundance. A believer is to furnish, supply, or support his life with these virtues. You see, it's not just, you know, loving the Lord and just taking, the first step of water baptism and, you know, saying the Lord is my Savior, I want to follow him. That's good. That's a start. It's not just stopping receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism, and saying, well, now I'm ready for heaven. No, the Word of God tells us there's something we have to do. Cause us to mature and be fruitful. You've got to apply. You've got to acquire. You've got to put some effort. All diligence, it talks about doing the best. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. He says to make every effort in these things to add to our faith. The first one he talks about here, virtue, courage, or fortitude. In the midst of assaults of temptation, we need a resolute determination to do what is right in the sight of God. A steadfast strength that will, a will to choose always the good part. These are the virtues of a Christian warrior. To put on the armor. Courage and fortitude. It's not easy. The enemy is getting, the enemy targets you. You're a Christian. You want to follow Jesus Christ. You know the truth. That's who he goes after. Don't worry about the world out there. They're already in his hands. They're already under his control. He's worried about destroying the rest. That's you and I. Yesterday in the morning in the prayer meeting we had, Sister Aaron's prayer, she said something in her prayer. Lord, help me to put on the whole armor every day. The whole armor of God, because without it, I can't win. I can't fight the fight. And we need to put on, we need courage and fortitude. Put on, praise God, virtue. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Spiritual knowledge. Discernment. Wisdom. Spiritual knowledge. Lord, lead me, guide me, show me the right way. Everything is not laid out in the Bible. Well, how do I find the answer to this? What career path should I take? Who should I marry? Lord, provide someone. Lord, lead me in a direction. Lord, provide for my life. Lord, show me the right way. Is this the career path I should take? Is this the job I should accept? Is this the direction my life should go? Sometimes we don't give that enough importance. And we go by our natural interests, which are, it's fine. We need to do that. But Lord, direct me. Lord, lead me. Should I take that promotion? Should I take that job offer? Should I move in this direction? No, the Holy Spirit has to lead us. Knowledge. Put on knowledge. Praise God. And temperance, self-control. Lord, control my appetites and passions. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about the things I desire. A self-control. Keeping things in balance. Temperance. Don't get out of bounds. Don't get caught up in this world. Young people, you're susceptible. You're susceptible to the temptations. The enemy lays out, just as he took Jesus to the top of a mountain, see all this? Jesus, you see all this? This could be yours. You're growing up in school. You see this? You could be a great ball player. Or you could have this career path, this corporate path. Temperate. Lord, guide us. Lead us. We can get caught up in this life and forget about God. Oh, we go to church. Yeah, we go to church. And yeah, I know the Lord. And yeah, I took the water baptism, but that's superficial. It's deep down. What's in your heart? What's your desire? Lord, lead me and guide me. Help me, Lord, not to get caught up in the things of this life, that it takes me away from serving God. You know, we wonder, sometimes we look around and think about, you know, that person started out in the Lord and they were on fire. And I remember when they got baptized with the Holy Ghost and they wanted to save the world and they were praying for people. And now, you know, they started to miss church and don't hear them so much anymore and don't see them active in serving the Lord. How do they run out of gas? How does that happen? What is it that took place? And Peter is telling us here by the Holy Spirit. He says, you got to add these virtues, these qualities. You got to cultivate the word. You got to cultivate these things in your life. Because the enemy is going to try and steal them away. The enemy is going to try and rob you. The enemy is going to try and pull you away. And we get to the end of life and we're not so sure. Where am I? How am I doing? If Jesus were to come today, am I ready? Well, we don't like to think of those things. That's negative. That's, crepe hanging. Brother Ron, that's throwing cold water on things. No, it's reality. The more I look at what's going on in this life, the more I see the signs that are coming to pass, the more that is being demonstrated is the plan of God is in operation. Everything is working. Everything is happening according to the prophecies in the Word of God. Without getting into all the details, I don't know all the prophecies. We see enough to know we're in the last of the last days. We know enough to say, oh Lord, you're coming soon. I want to be ready. I want you to be ready, praise God. That's the only thing that counts. Are we ready? And the Word of God says you need to cultivate these virtues and these qualities. You need to actively go after them. You need to seek them. You need to surrender. You need to open your heart and allow the Spirit of God to do it, praise God. And he talks about perseverance. Patience, perseverance. In the New Testament, it's frequently used to be steadfast, or steadfast endurance under adversity without giving in or giving up. What does the enemy want you to do? He wants you to give up. Why do you think trials come in our lives? Why does God allow trials to come in our lives? Why doesn't he protect us? Why doesn't he stop those trials from coming in our lives? Because that's the only way we grow. The only way we can know the fullness of his power and the faithfulness of God is by our experience with him. Song says, never fail me yet. Jesus' love has never failed me yet. This one thing I know, where I go, Jesus' love never fail me yet. He's always been by our side. Praise the Lord. Even when we didn't deserve it, even when we turned our back to the Lord, even when we went our way, even when we did our own head, God still comes after us. God still looks after us. God still is reaching out to us. Not willing that any should perish. I love that scripture. later in Peter, not willing that any should perish. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Godliness. Put on godliness. A spirit of reverence. The holy fear of God. You know, I tell you, I get a little bit offended. Forgive me. This is maybe my own personal. The way I see some preachers behave. With torn jeans, scraggly shirts. You're in the presence of Almighty God. You're in the presence of a thrice holy God. You're ministering the word. If that's all you have, if you're that poor and that's all you have, that's one thing. But if that's to appeal to the congregation, if that's to make everybody look, oh, we're all okay, you can dress any way you want. I'm not saying you have to have a shirt and a tie and a jacket. I'm not saying that. Reverence, a holy fear. You're going to church. What does that mean? It's not just checking a box. No, you're going into the presence of God with the brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're coming in. This is where two or three, as Lisa quoted it, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in their midst. By faith, he is here with us right now. We feel his presence. We know he's here. And we behave in such a manner, a holy reverence for God. And those first five that I talked about deal with our relationship to God, but brotherly kindness translates to a fervent, practical caring for others. We should desire to be with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Even in our activities. Doesn't mean we can't have other friends. That's okay. When there's a time to gather together, we ought to desire to be with one another. This is the family that prays for you. This is a family that calls out your name in the midnight hour before the throne of God and say, Lord, would you reach to my brother, my sister? They're in need right now. Would you touch them? A coming together. A desire to be in the house of God. A desire to worship with the brother and sister, brothers and sisters. Brotherly kindness. We encourage one another. Your testimony encourages someone else. Your presence encourages us. We come in faith saying, oh Lord, would you bless us here this morning or tonight or whenever it is. Would you come, Lord, and bless us? Would you reach to us? And your presence says, yes, brother. You don't have to say a word, but your presence there says, yes, brother, we're with you. We want the Lord to work. We want God to move. We want the Holy Spirit to fall. We want to see your glory. And finally, he talks about love. That agape love, desiring the highest good for others. It's not just the brotherly love, you love me and I love you, but it's desiring the highest good for someone else with no strings attached. Talked about the word add and its choreography and this symphony of all these qualities. It begins with faith and ends with love, building on the foundation of the faith of Christ. He says, but if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's like a spiritual myopia and nearsighted. We see the things of this life and we forget about the eternal things a little bit. Get caught up in this life. So involved. I got so many things. I got so many goals. I got so many other things I want to do. Don't forget where you were and where you came from. Lord, help us. Help us. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard I've heard expressions that, oh, I hope I just get inside the door in heaven. I just hope I'll just slide under the door. That's not what the Word of God says. If you do these things, if you add these virtues to your faith, because God has given you all the things that you need and I need. And even with those, we fail at times, don't we? We make mistakes. This humanity is hard to control. It takes the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Any one of us is, if we get our eyes off Jesus, we can be weak. We can be weak. I don't care who you are, the pastor, the assistant pastor, the deacons, the associate pastor, Sunday school teacher. You get your eyes off of Jesus, and you can be weak. But he says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love the song. I don't know the song that the sister sang. I want to live my life that Jesus can use me. Is that kind of how it went? Lord, that's my desire too. I believe that's all our desire. Lord, use us. We want to live our lives that Jesus can use us for the kingdom. It's about him. It's about serving him. It's about seeing others come into the kingdom. What's God's interest in is saving, not willing that any should perish, that all come to repentance. Lord, help us this morning. As I close this message, brother, sister, would you come forward? Help us to live our lives, Lord, in such a way that brings glory and honor to your name. Because he deserves all the glory this morning. He has been so faithful. Why are we here this morning? Because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, you could go to any church. There's a lot of churches. But why are we here? To hear the truth, to hear the word of God. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he did. And God says, now I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I've given you great and precious promises. My desire is to have you be with me in heaven. My desire is for you to live eternally in that glory land. Lord, would you help us this morning? You see our frailties and our weaknesses and our failures and our faults. We don't dwell on those. We don't make excuses for those. We say, Lord, strengthen us. We want to put on these virtues and these qualities that the Word of God describes, that we may be a testimony, that we may be an example, that we may bring honor and glory to his name. I pray the Lord strengthen you. I pray the Lord help you and draw us closer. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?